If you've ever considered getting a business partner, then you must listen to today's episode on the trick to partnering up profitably. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
One of my go-to resources happens to be my Build Your Dream Team program. Even though I created it for my clients, I use every single step in the program. And you can find out all about it at buildyourdreamteam.com. So before you hire that next person, before you go through a whole bunch of interviews and still turn up empty, disappointed with the team you've hired, or frustrated because you can't find the people that you know will help you grow, turn to the Build Your Dream Team program and discover the step-by-step system to hiring A players profitably. Now, let's get into the ins and outs of partnering profitably. Have you ever wondered if a business partner was the answer for all of your hiring woes? I know I certainly went through a period where I thought if I could just have that great business partner that does the things I don't do well, then everything would be so much easier. I mean, by nature, I'm a collaborator, so I like having partners to collaborate, to brainstorm, and ultimately to co-create and share the process of building. But not all business partners are great partners for you. I've learned so much over the years about what it really takes to have profitable and powerful business partnerships. And so today I want to share with you a little bit of those insights and also some very important questions to ask yourself if you are considering partnering up. Now, I have worked with a lot of business partners over the years, coaching them together to help them grow the business and help them become better partners together. And one thing that I've discovered that you can probably see right away is a business partner is a lot like a marriage. And what I found is that all of the great, exciting things that we initially are attracted to in a potential partner oftentimes can transform into nightmares, frustrations, obstacles, and breakdowns that can dissolve that partnership quicker than it ever started. And I've worked with so many devastated entrepreneurs and business leaders who somehow during this really exciting phase of partnering up to grow, they realized, wow, they had a partner that was not going to make it to the next level with them. So the partnership is dissolving. The financial arrangement they started with is now strangling them. They maybe discovered that the partner that wow, okay, we thought we were going to do all these things to grow together, but really we love doing the same things, and now we both want to do the same role. And ultimately, it's very common for business partners to discover they really don't share a vision, the values, and maybe even the priorities that need to be in place for alignment and powerful growth. So if you are considering partnering with someone, or if you are in a place where your business partnership isn't working, this is going to be an important set of questions for you to look at to see, A, is this really the right business partner for me? B, is partnering really something I want to do? And C, do I have some opportunities here to strengthen this partnership and make it perform better? And if this is your spouse, a family member, or a close friend, this is 100 times more important because there's a lot of great relationships that go down the tank when money and success is at stake if the partners don't agree. So let me first start with the fact that partnering, like I said earlier, is a lot like a marriage. And you have to go into it knowing that this is not just for now, it's for the long term. And I know a lot of creatives and more spiritual woo-woo types tend to look at this as, well, I just want to take this a step at a time. And, you know, we love each other. We'll always do the right thing for each other. And I've even heard people say, I don't want to have a plan. I don't want to have a structure because if it's meant to be, it'll work out. I so appreciate that belief system. And I'm the first person to move forward with a new idea with a positive intention. But like I said, this is a lot like a marriage, and If you've ever gone through a horrible divorce or know someone who has, you know going into it, those people never imagined it would end that way. So when we look at business partnering, we have to look at the fact that as we enter with all the excitement and passion, we have to be responsible to the business and the people that business serves. And if that partnership dissolves with angst and anger and frustration, which it could, you want to have a plan that will help you dissolve that with power. And let's just face it, maybe you even evolve past each other at some point and you part amicably. Wouldn't it be nice to have a game plan of how to go your separate directions without the frustration of figuring it all out? Absolutely. So here are some things that I think are super important to think about before you enter into it. And making these things a dialogue point can actually help identify, is this the right business partnership for me, before you get too attached to it. Here's question number one. What are each of your core strengths? Having a heart-to-heart conversation about what are the superpowers you bring to the table, what are the things you love doing, and what are the things that maybe you're good at but you don't really want to do. And being clear about that with each other can avoid one of the biggest challenges in business partnerships, and that is both of you are attracted to the partnership because you have so much that you are similar in that you end up wanting to have the same roles. I worked with a woman probably about 4 or 5 years into my business. She was part of a really, really huge organization. There were three partners. And what was happening is she really wanted to do the roles that the other partners were doing. And she was starting to really burn out and not want to be part of the business because she couldn't be in her core strengths. And what's interesting sometimes with partners and team members in general is when one person is more adaptable and they have many strengths, if one partner really only has one strength, they'll own that role. And then the partner with lots of strengths ends up defaulting into the strengths that they don't want to be in. What that does to the partnership is it tears at the seams a little. Because ultimately, if one partner's doing things that they don't want to do, they don't really want to be in the partnership anymore. They start to disengage. And that's exactly what happened. That person ended up getting bought out and going on to do their own things. I've coached so many people through that process, business partners, spouses, potential partners. And what they find very quickly is that there's often a lot of overlap and they have to spend the time to get clear who really is going to do what, or are we going to hire people to do the things we can't do well? So it's an important conversation to have. What are your core strengths and maybe even what are your weak areas so that you can design the partnership from a place of clarity and strength from the get-go. Be clear about the roles you'll take and that clarity will serve you for years after. A second question that I think are really important to ask is, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? See, if you really are entering into a partnership for growth, you've got to be looking at the big picture. And not having this conversation could actually mean that you both want different things in the long term. So why are you building this business together? It really helps you understand where they're wanting to grow into. So if one partner's more of a serial entrepreneur and it's like they like the experience of jumping in and jumping out, starting something and then handing it off, and you're more of a long-term legacy builder, this is an important question to have because you may need to know early on that your partner is a good starter, but they'll eventually want to go on to the next thing and will be less available to your business. Not a bad thing, but you'll need to have a plan of how to replace them and what that's going to mean to the revenue share. A really important insight here, because I've, again, worked with partnerships where the fail point was that one partner was off to the next thing and they were not actively supporting their role anymore, but they didn't have a plan for it. So it created angst, it created resentment, it created really poor financial structures because the partner was still getting paid as if they were performing 100% in the business. So it's a great conversation point. Where do you want to be 5 to 10 years from now? What kind of entrepreneur are you and what do you want from this business? Let's move on to the third question to ask. What are your top three priorities right now? So priorities and values are different, and it's important you understand both from your partner. But priorities are the things that are urgent and need attention in the moment, whereas values tend to be the guiding force. It's like a compass that is part of your decision structure. But that doesn't mean it's a priority that you will serve in the moment. So you can be wired to make a difference and build a business that's about making a difference. But if cash flow is critical, it will cause you to have to make short-term decisions that are different than your long-term values will align with. So this is why it's important. If your priorities don't match the priorities of your business partner, you guys need to get that on the table. I worked with a partnership that was emerging, and one of the things they didn't talk about before they came to work with me was what their priorities were. One person was heavily in need of cash flow, and the other person was fine in the cash department and truly wanted to be able to just do the things that she was passionate about, which meant she had five businesses she wanted to be moving forward. And it really created some angst between the partners. So if somebody is really driven for short-term cash and the other is more excited about maybe building a long-term foundation or taking some time to grow the company with more structure, you'll clash. Your priorities won't match and you'll get into each other's faces probably about what needs to happen. So by discussing priorities and really understanding where each partner is, you can develop both short and long-term goals that serve both partners, but being very well aware of what each partner needs to feel good about the growth of the business. The next question that I think that most people forget to ask when they're exploring a business partnership is, how are you going to make important decisions? Listen, in the honeymoon phase, decisions can be made a lot easier than when you've had time in the game, you've developed more of a relationship, you've become more connected to each other's way of doing things, and if you are facing some challenges with cash flow or other really pivotal issues, decision-making differences will become heightened. And what happens is, if you don't understand each other's decision-making process, misunderstandings become big mountains, become big explosions. B, if you don't understand this, you may make decisions that really anger and eliminate the other person's input without realizing it. I can't tell you how many people I know. One of the pivot points was this person made a business-altering decision without including the other person, but person A didn't really understand that the other person would need to be involved. It didn't occur to them. Or, which happens to many people, you start operating out of your shadow energies because you really are committed to something and you believe the other person won't agree with you. So having an agreement on how big decisions will be made, and maybe even what is the financial limit that one partner can make a decision without the other's involvement. Having agreements like this can make your partnership and your business so much more effortless because there's trust and because both partners really understand what is vital to the other person in order to grow the business. Now, the next decision, and this is decision number 5, is understanding the way people process information. Now, I'm going to do a whole episode on this in the future. This is part of my Build Your Dream Team program where I teach what a processing style is and how a team member, a partner, and maybe even your spouse or your kids are processing very different from you. What this does is by having this understanding of each other, you can have an appreciation for your differences. There are 4 core processing styles. And if the person you are partnering with, the person that's on your team even, or even your spouse, we'll take it to that level for a minute, processes differently than you, it often creates confusion. And this is where a lot of fights are born because we're so busy trying to get people to see things the way we see them. We're not taking into consideration that if they process opposite of us or different from us, that they may be getting to a similar situation, but they're getting there differently. So how you take in information, how you make decisions, how you process situations, how you interact with others, and even how you manage your time are all influenced by your processing style. So there's a lot of assessments out there. There's DISC, there's Enneagram, there's StrengthsFinders, there's Colby. There's so many different tools. I use a Jungian-based system that's it's basically a four energy style, but I find it to be very illuminating to understand how people are processing differently than you. And it creates appreciation for differences instead of seeing those differences as something to go to war over or to fight about. So understanding this about your business partner will give you two things. One, are you comfortable going into partnership with somebody who processes so differently than you? And can you hold space for your differences? Or is that style going to be so problematic that you know going into it, it's too much? Okay. And there are certain styles that they're so opposite each other, it's really difficult to work together. Or knowing that if you're going to make that step, you really need someone who has a similar enough style that you can find your zone of compatibility faster. Now, the sixth question, and this is a really good one to ask, is what do you really need from your partner to stay happy with the arrangement? And conversely, what would happen with your partner that would cause you to want to leave? Be willing to talk about the best case and the worst case scenario. It's actually one of my secret, well, not so secret now because I'm going to tell you, but it's one of my secret hiring questions, is anytime I'm really going to make a big commitment to somebody, I want to know what's going to make them happy and what could make them want to leave. Because I want to make sure that they're not going to react to something that is a way I am naturally. And so you're always walking on eggshells. And I also want to know, is there things I need to do to make sure my partner, my team member, my whoever is happy so that it's easy to stay in the relationship? So talk about what the partnership will need to thrive. What are the expectations? What are the things that you need to make sure are happening on a day-to-day basis so you're staying inspired and your partner's staying inspired? No one expects a relationship like this to be happy and smooth sailing, but you do need to understand each other's expectations and be able to have a conversation and talk through the challenges that surface. And when you have these values in place and you have these type of understandings with each other, it's so much easier. So this could be, what are the deal breakers? What's the financial compensation have to be? What is your level of communication that you require? What kind of boundaries do you have? What do they have? And what are important outcomes at the 6 month, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year milestones that have to be in place for both of you to feel satisfied and want to continue to grow the business? By the way, that was a lesson hard learned for me because I didn't understand those things about someone I partnered with. And we had very different ideas about what we wanted. And when it came to the point where neither one of us were happy, we didn't really have the strong foundation to talk that through. And ultimately, the partnership dissolved because they wanted to go one direction, I wanted to go a different direction. It's life, and it's okay. But boy, you sure can avoid a lot of unhappiness and false starts if you know it early enough in the relationship. Now, the last question that I want to leave you with about partnering is, have a conversation like a prenuptial. If the partnership ends for whatever reason, for good reasons, for bad reasons, because somebody passes on, because one of you needs to attend to home life, for whatever reason, how will you dissolve the business assets? Now, this doesn't have to be a challenging conversation, but it is an essential one. And I realized this because many years ago, I coached a client through a very terrible, financially devastating partnership dissolution. And I realized, even though this was a very high profile company and these people were really smart, and one of them was actually in a professional services world where this should have been obvious, they did not have an agreement in place. And because one person had a little more financial means, my client ended up losing thousands of dollars in assets that he worked 5 years to build up. So you want to have conversations and get in writing, and I would even encourage you to have a lawyer's blessing. How will you split up the email list that you build? How will you split up clients? Will one person own the clients and one person get bought out? Will your intellectual property be shared Will both people be able to take it and use it for their own needs, or does one person need to buy the other out? An example of this is, if you're familiar with the company Tremeil, they are a Canadian-based company, and several years ago, they had a partnership fallout, and they had to split up the assets of the company. They both were allowed to keep the recipe for the formula, but one partner had to rebrand it, and so it became another name in America, and the other partner kept the Tremeil brand in Canada. So that's an example. I don't know if they had it worked out in advance or not, but that's the story. That's an example of how you can take assets and formulas and intellectual property and find ways to amicably split it up. So you want to understand how you're going to handle the breakup and all of the important elements of the business. And I think it's also worth talking about where are some places that fears could come up, and how will you handle that? How will you make sure that you stay professional and respectful of each other, even if things get challenging? Well, you got to have the end game worked out before you start. And again, it doesn't have to be for bad reasons that the partner dissolves. I mean, people die. People decide that they want to leave and focus on their family. People have other things come up that will eventually mean it changes their involvement in the business. Just have a plan of how one person or both people extract with professionalism and respect. Now, I believe that solid partnerships are so helpful for quick growth. And it's a wonderful way to take your vision and your passion, be able to spend more time in your genius, to get your work out in a bigger way, when you align with people who compliment you. And I've had clients who were great business partners who really had that respect and did a great job of defining the roles in the business and making sure that everybody on the team was doing the things they did. And they had ways to work out how to grow. And what it did is it built a foundation of trust. It built a strong leap pad. And these are partners that are growing 6-7 figures at a time. It can be done, but take the time to get a formal business partnership agreement in place and really get your solid business entity right from the get-go and make sure both partners or all partners are clear on their roles and everybody's got the financial structure that works for them. It will make a really big difference in your growth. Now, I'm really curious, if you are in a partnership, and it's thriving, what were the things you did to make it work well? And if you're in a struggling partnership, is there some things you could use some help with? Jump on into the Amplify Your Success community. Instructions are at the end, or you can head over to amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And for the moment, decide to partner profitably. All right, we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.